We adore you. We magnify you tonight, Lord. You alone are worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory. Great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. We magnify your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. We give you glory and give you honor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Savior, Redeemer, Healer, Deliverer. Hallelujah. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, for your Son, Jesus, for your plan of redemption, the sending of Jesus, born, miraculous virgin birth, lived a sinless life, died a vicarious death, became the propitiation for our sins, and paid the price that I owed and that we owed, and rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And now we have been invited through union with your Son to sit at your own right hand. We thank you, Father. We bless you. And as we spend our time here, what's left on earth, we do it as your ambassadors to do your will and your plan, to speak your words, to think your thoughts. Help us, Lord. We thank you for giving us the mighty Holy Ghost who lives on the inside of us, the greater one. Hallelujah. Greater, greater, greater is the mighty Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So we're not left orphans. We're not without a comforter. We're not without a helper. You are on our side. We thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you just need to pray yourself a good sermon. Amen. Just remind God what he said in his word. Hallelujah. He knows it. It's not that he forgets it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, shake hands with somebody and tell him he is holy. You can be seated. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Praise God. Well, we're so glad that you're here tonight. I want to welcome again all those that are watching online. God bless you. Just grab your Bible, get your notebook out. We're going to look at some things in the Word of God tonight. And I think what we see in the Word, how many of you know the Word is precious? But it's alive. Amen. It's alive. It's not an ancient book. It's living. Why? Because it's a book of faith. And faith is right now. Faith never was. Faith always is right now. And if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and faith is now, that means God's word is always right now. Amen. What does it mean? Well, when's the day of salvation? Right now. When's the time of healing? Right now. When's the time of deliverance? Right now. Amen. God's word is always right now. Hallelujah. And the more that we think of it that way, and the more we speak of it that way, the more of it we are going to receive in that way. Now you say, well, now God talks about things in the future. I realize that, but to God, it's right now. He's timeless. This earth operates according to time, but God is timeless. Amen. I mean, God can see eternity as easy as he can see this day. Glory to God. And so this is a timeless word, glory to God. And I realize some things have been fulfilled, and we walk in the fulfillment of those things. But hallelujah, don't put off to tomorrow what's available for you today. Amen. I've been meditating on several things and over just the course of several months and weeks and that type of thing. And I was reminded of and I've been trying to put some things together. I knew I had some notes, and I got them out and was looking at them again. It just seemed good to me and the Holy Spirit tonight to go over some of these things. This is out of a notebook. I on my notebook on the renewed mind, and I wrote on here years ago, the mind, renew it, don't lose it. Amen. You remember that old commercial? The mind, what a terrible thing to waste. Well, you know, God doesn't want us to waste our mind. And so tonight I want us to look at just a few things concerning that, the mind and our thinking processes. And I have four opening scriptures. I really do, but we'll just go to them one at a time. The book of 3 John. The third letter of John, right before, hey Jude. Here a couple years ago, sometimes the students in the training in the college, you know, they're real serious. They take notes. They write everything down. Some of them, some of them don't write anything down, but some of them write everything down. And I said, let's turn over to Jude. And I said, I've decided when I get to heaven, when I see Jude, I'm going to say, hey. Some of them writing it down, If you don't understand that, that's all right. 3 John, and I want to read verse 2. Now, I'm going to be reading from the King James Bible, but I might un-King James it a little bit as I go along, all right? Verse 2, beloved, I wish, or the margin of my Bible says, pray above all things. Now, here, this must be very important here to the Apostle John. He says, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Soul. Now, let's remind ourselves. The Bible, the New Testament teaches us, and you can see it throughout the old, but you have to see it from the new and look back that way, that we are a three-part being, a triune being. We are spirit beings. God is spirit. We're created in his image. We are spirit beings. We have a soul, which would be made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions, and we live in a body. Well, with our spirit, we contact God in the realm of God, that spirit realm. And with our bodies, we contact this physical realm. But with the soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, we contact that intellectual realm, if you will, the realm of reason and that type of thing. And so he says, I wish above all things. Now, he's writing to Christians here who are already born again. And so in that sense, you could say, well, if you're born again, you're prosperous in your spirit. Now, we know we need to train the human spirit. And, I think that's one of the hallmarks of what Brother Hagin taught us was how to train the human spirit. And but our spirit is born again. We're new creatures in Christ. But yet to live in the reality of that, we have to have a prosperous soul. And our health and our prosperity in every area of life. Now, when you see the word prosper there, some of you, maybe your mind goes to finances, but he's really talking about prospering in every area of your life here. And notice he says, even as. Well, even as, you could say, isn't that the same as it? That'd be like putting an equal sign there, right? So the degree of our soul's prosperity, our mind, our will, and our emotions, is going to be equal to the degree that we can prosper and be in health. And so it's important here, this subject. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. He said, beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, here in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing here in this second half of the book of Ephesians about the first three chapters are about the who we are in Christ. The last three chapters about what now. So you're in Christ. Now, what do you do with that? But he's saying, if we're going to live here in this part, if we're going to live as Christians and not the way the world lives, then there's some keys, there's some aspects that we need to take care of. And he says here in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Spirit of your mind. Now, that scripture used to bother me a lot because I was trying to figure out how my mind had a spirit. You know, thinking, well, I am a spirit. I have a soul and my mind's part of my soul, but how does my mind have a spirit? And then I saw some other translations. I think that even the NIV says the attitude of your mind. And that's a good translation of that word there. It's used that way other times. Be renewed in the attitude of your mind. Here again, talking about our mind, where we think, where we reason, where we make decisions. It's an area of the soul that decisions are made. Now see, if we can never get our mind, our soul, if you will, to agree with our spirit, boy, we're going to have a good life. We're going to be walking in the will of God. But you know, there's other voices, right? You've got a flesh that's got a voice. Oh, I don't ever hear my flesh. Maybe we'll have a pinching service here. See if your flesh talks to you then. We're not going to do that. I don't feel led. But you know, your body talks to you all the time. Stay in bed. Now, how many, this morning, Rich talked about this morning. I mean, when that storm hit, I mean, my wife had to wake me up, tell me the power was out. Because I mean, when the storm hit and it's dark out, that's sleeping weather to me. I didn't even know it stormed. I might have heard it a little bit, but that was okay. All right. You know, but my body was telling me, stay in bed. Hey, man, you know, every time you drive by your favorite donut shop, how many of your body says, pull in? Hey, man, I know a lot of you, Starbucks talks to you. I know it does because I see you pulling in there all the time. You know, some of you don't even have to order anymore. You just pull up and say, this is Grady. And they hand your cup out the window with your name on it. We've been expecting you. How many of you got frequent flyer miles at Starbucks? Come on now. All right. Romans 12. The mind, where we think, it's so important. While you're turning there, I'm reminded of what Brother Hagin said in his book, Right and Wrong Thinking. He said, what we believe is a result of our thinking. If we think wrong, we will believe wrong. And if our believing is wrong, our confession will be wrong. In other words, what we say will be wrong. It all hinges on our thinking. Now, you remember the Bible says we have what we say. And so in order to say the right things, we've got to believe the right things. In order to believe the right things, we've got to think the right things. Now here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many of you have ever had one of those squishy balls? You've seen them? They're supposed to be stress relieving, right? Supposed to be. But you know, you put pressure on that and that ball conforms to the pressure, right? You release it, what happens? It goes back to its shape. Now he's saying here, don't let the world put pressure on you and conform you into its image. But be transformed. Now let's talk about transform. How many of you have ever played with Play-Doh? Right? When you push on Play-Doh, you've transformed the shape of it. And if you leave it there to dry, of course, Play-Doh will eventually dry out and fall apart. But any of you ever made a clay pot or anything like that? I was not very good in art class at the clay pot. All right? I could fly clay off the spinning wheel. I could do that. Not on purpose. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? But when you mold that clay, it's transformed. It's still clay, but it's transformed into a new image. So it's still you, but when we renew our mind, we're transformed into a new image. Renew our mind with the word of God, we're transformed into the image of God. Now I like Weiss' translation. Here in verse 2 says, stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. But change your outward expression to one that comes from within, and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind. See, our spirit is born again. We're new creatures in Christ. But our mind, our soul didn't get born again. Okay? We have to renew that. And so he said, by the renewing of your mind, resulting in your putting to the test what is the will of God, the good and well-pleasing and complete will, and having found that it meets specifications, place your approval upon it. I like that. Don't assume an outward expression that doesn't come from within you. In other words, don't let outside influences define who you are and influence your decision making. Make every decision, then, he's saying, from the inside out. Well, that's good right there. Christians, if we can just remember that, let's make decisions from the inside out. You know this, your mind can tell you all kinds of things. Your thought life, if you don't watch it, it'll tell you, and your thoughts will convince you. Amen. You know, sometimes you can desire something so strongly that you convince yourself it's God. Amen. But you got to follow the leading on the inside. Make decisions from the inside out. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Excuse me here. These are opening scriptures here. Now I guess I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. So I don't have any problem unhooking, you know, at times. Hopefully I'll get another shot at this if we need to. Well, let's believe God together that we'll get out tonight what needs to come out tonight. Amen? You believe with me? Proverbs chapter 23. Look at that first part of that verse. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Would you agree then that our thinking is going to define us? Our thinking, he says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Our thinking is going to be is probably the greatest influence on who we become in this earth. Now, understanding goes along with thinking. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, but understanding is so very important. Jesus said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And that word hear there, one of the translations of it and definitions is understanding. I found this out in life. What people don't understand, they're against. You know, they may not, or in other words, whatever they don't understand, they're not going to receive of that because they don't understand it. When you understood you were a sinner and needed a Savior and Jesus is that Savior, then it was easy then to act and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So you had understanding. When you understood that the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues was for you today, then you could act upon that. You see, make a decision to act upon it and then you could receive it. Amen. And so it's very important here, our thinking. So I want us to go now to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As our thinking defines us. We want to say, you know, we want to be able to move beyond and make changes. But you realize if our thinking doesn't change, we're not going to have different actions. Oh, you may fake it for a while, but you're not going to have consistency. Your thinking has to change. Amen. In order to make change, you're going to have to change the way you think concerning certain things. Praise the Lord. Now, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's begin here in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now again, we talked about we have a flesh. We're here on this earth. And our flesh, we won't turn there tonight, but Hebrews 5 tells us our flesh can be trained, our senses can be trained to discern between good and evil. We can train ourselves. Now how are we going to do that? With the Word of God. And making right decisions from the inside out, eventually your flesh will figure it out. Our senses. How does your soul, think about that, or your flesh, how does your flesh gain information? God's given us 5 physical senses. We can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. And we gain information that way. And those things are not evil. Let me tell you this. The flesh consecrated to God is not evil. We didn't read Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You could say present your flesh a living sacrifice. Or present your 5 physical senses to God. And if you sense something with their 5 physical senses that doesn't line up with the word of God, then it has to be wrong and God's word has to be true. Now here, that's what we're going to read here. Verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now he says here, we live in this realm of 5 physical senses, but we're not, we don't have to, our warfare, we've got weaponry that's greater than the 5 physical senses. And it is that the number one weapon we have is the word of God. And with that word of God, we're able to pull down strongholds. Now, a lot of times when us crazymatics and charismatics and whoever all we are, we hear strongholds, we automatically want to blame the devil. Listen to me. Your thinking is far more powerful in your life than the devil. And that's the strongholds he mentions here. Because he says, casting down imaginations, or in my margin of my Bible, reasonings. Well, that's in your mind. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Where do we find the knowledge of God? In the Word of God. In the Word of God. Brother Hagin said this many times, and said it in that book, Right and Wrong Thinking, that you cannot believe God beyond actual knowledge. Faith begins where the will of God is known. In other words, our knowledge will determine our level of faith. But he says, against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity, or capturing every thought and making it obedient to Christ. You see, when you have that thought, you're not going to make it this time, or you can't do that, then something has to rise up from within you that says, wait a minute, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You see, you have to take that thought captive and bring it into obedience with Christ. So one of the things that we're going to have to make sure that we do in our decision-making process, if you will, is to make sure that we put the Word of God first place. We'll look at that in just a moment. But the Word of God has to be the number one guide and rule to life. Hallelujah. And what does what does the Word say about that? What does the Bible say about that? Okay. Now, when he says, you think about the flesh, look in Galatians 5. When we allow our flesh to rule us rather than our spirit, and when our mind agrees with our flesh, then the fruit that we produce is found here in Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 19 through 21, just to remind ourselves here. Now again, these are all works of the flesh, and they're not, notice he didn't say anything in this chapter about blaming the devil. Okay? I know Geraldine wanted to blame the devil all the time, but the devil didn't make her do nothing. Again, if you don't get that reference, that's all right. Some of us understand it all too well. That shows how old we are. Galatians 5, verse 19. But now, he said, now, the works of the flesh, or the fruit of the flesh, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is lack of control in life, idolatry, witchcraft. Notice that even witchcraft there. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, obviously, yes, the devil will help you do these things if you'll make the decision. He tries to influence you, but the devil can't make you do anything. You have to make the decision to commit adultery. Well, I accidentally committed adultery. No, you didn't. You had to make a decision. And it probably was not that decision. It was decisions that preceded that, that led up to that decision. You see, instead of renewing our mind, instead of taking the thought captive, if you let that thought run wild, it will become a stronghold in your life. You see, and in your mind. Okay, but thank God we don't war in our senses. We have five physical senses, but we don't have to be ruled by them. Our weapons are not limited to the sense realm. Hallelujah. So you realize this. Many times our weapons, they're not seen, they're not necessarily heard, tasted, smelled, or touched, but they do work. You know, sometimes you can't see. That's why we're not moved by what we see. We walk by faith and not by sight. While we look not at things which are seen, but things which are unseen. For things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but things which are unseen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says. Why? Because sometimes if we're not careful, we forget there is that realm of the spirit, and that there's things going on in that realm. You don't have to smell it to know what's going on. You don't have to touch it to know what's going on. You don't have to taste it to know God's working on your behalf. You don't have to hear anything to know that God's on my side, that he never leave me nor forsake me, you see? Thank God we have those things. Now, back there, and he mentioned three things, strongholds, imaginations, which were reasonings, and really one other word that goes with that is fantasies. He also mentioned things would exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and thoughts were contrary to Christ or contrary to the word of God. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Now remember, I said the devil wasn't even mentioned there as far as strongholds. You realize the Bible says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now here in Colossians chapter 2, you know, the old adage I heard, I don't know who said this, but I've heard it. Those that think they can and those that think they can't are both right. You know, and so if the devil can get us, trick us into thinking wrong by our senses, you know, what we see at the moment, and you realize this, just because your bank account doesn't have enough in it right now doesn't mean God's not going to bring you through. Amen. Hallelujah. So Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13, he said, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Boy, we could stop there for about the rest of our life and talk, couldn't we? Hallelujah. Thank God. How many of you are glad your sins are forgiven? Glory to God. How many of you are glad when we were dead in our flesh, he made us alive? Glory to God. What did he do? He said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Everything we'd ever done wrong, recorded. Everything we'd ever done wrong, written against us. Jesus blotted it out. He took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross. He took my death sentence to the cross. And when those nails pierced him into that cross, everything written against me was nailed there with him. And he took it to death. He took it to the grave. But we know he rose again. There's verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Glory to God. Jesus stripped Satan all those years ago. And so, you know, now the devil, he wants to get us to believe that he's the stronghold. But he's not the stronghold. He's an enemy. Yes, he is. He's an enemy. And Ephesians 6 tells us, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. He said, in the evil day. And he said, having done all this against the fiery darts of the enemy, against the, you know, his spirit, the wickedness and that type of thing. But how does the devil come against us? What are his weapons? You think about it. Thoughts, ideas, suggestions contrary to the word of God. So the process God gave us was not yell and scream at the devil. He didn't say yell and scream at the devil and blame the devil. He said, you renew your mind. Go to the word of God. Renew your mind. Take that thought captive. Amen. And then you'll walk in it. Now, Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Now, if we couldn't take thoughts captive, God wouldn't have told us to do it. You ever thought about that? That doesn't mean we don't, you know this about God. The moment you begin to take the word and take that thought captive, his ability goes into work. Just the moment you move towards obedience in God, the word of God is empowered with whatever needs to bring it to pass. Call it whatever you want, the grace, the anointing, whatever you want to call it. God's word is filled. Amen. I'll never forget the first time I bit into a piece of gum that had something on the inside of it, and you bit that and that gum, whatever was in there, that filling squirted out, It was a unique sensation. But it's like God's word, though. You take a step to obey God's word, just all of a sudden, boom, something else takes hold together with you. Power of God and the Holy Ghost. Now, how do we begin to take those thoughts captive? Here in Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 20. Now, I know there's some, differing opinions on who this was written to, but I think I've heard one person talk about, and I've seen some evidence of it, that possibly this was David's instructions to his son Solomon, and Solomon is just saying them again. But regardless here, when he says, my son, you ladies, he's not leaving you out, okay? The word of God doesn't leave you out. Hallelujah. All right, we might say it, my child, today, but let's just say, when he says my son, that means all of us, okay? So what do we do? Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto all those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now let's look what he says here. Number first of all, he says, attend to my words. Attend to my words. What does that mean? Other translations say, put my word first. Put my word first. Now we don't necessarily use this the word attend this way, but it's still usable in that way. If you came to me and said, hey, go with me, don't ever invite me to Starbucks. They don't have anything I like. So, but anyway, you said, go with me to Starbucks. What if I had something else I had to do first? I'm going to say, well, let me go attend to this. In other words, I got to put this first place. So he said, in the word, let the word be the first thing. Attend to it first. All right. Attend to it first. And that's where we come. What does the word say? That's the first question. What does the word say about this? You go to the doc. First of all, the doctor's not against you. They're trying to get you well also, okay? Now, they're not perfect, all right? But, you don't have to rebuke the doctor if they give you a bad report. They're just giving you facts. Now, remember this. Facts change all the time. There's a digital clock back there, and every second the time changes. Every second. And really, you could break it down further than that, couldn't you? It changes. The fact of what time it is changes every second. Facts change. Truth is the same. Truth never changes. The word of God is truth. Jesus was the word made flesh, and the word is truth, John 17:17 says. And then I like, of course, Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. To me, that's a great definition of truth. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I found this out. The application of the truth will change the facts. You apply the truth of God's word, it'll change the facts of your circumstances. Don't ever come off the truth. Amen. And the word's true whether or not, I would say this, healing is for you today, even if I die with sickness and disease. Don't base your faith on what I experience. You base your faith on what the word of God has to say. Amen. And I'd rather go out speaking the truth than talking a lie. Does that make sense to you? I don't plan on going out for a long time, but you understand what I'm saying. The truth. So attend to my words. He said, put it first place. Then he says, incline your ear. Again, have a hearing ear. Keep it in your thinking. in the midst of your, keep it in front of your eyes, in the midst of your heart. Why? Because those words are life. Other translations say what? And health. They say what? Medicine. Medicine. How many of you have ever been given a prescription of medicine? Right? Do you realize if you don't follow the instructions, that medicine is going to do you no good whatsoever? You realize that? It won't help you a bit. But if you follow the instructions, it can do something for you. Well, here again, let the word. And I suggest daily application of the medicine. All right? So put the word first place. The second thing is, and do that. Second thing, Joshua 1. Now you're familiar with this verse. But here again, it has to do with affecting the way we think. You know, God's not going to make you do anything. Now, you can say that in the sense that you're going to be obedient to God. You've already made up your mind to be obedient to God. And so, in a sense, you could say that. But really, unless you decide and make the decision, you're not going to do anything. You understand that? Now, the thing about it is that if you'll start making decisions right now in the small things according to the Word of God, when the big thing comes along, you already have yourself built up to that place, and you already have a track record of when I make the right decision and I obey God's Word and I obey what God told me to do, He already took care of me this. What's this next thing going to be? That's one thing I love about this place. There's a spirit of faith to catch here. I don't know if you heard it. I mean, you heard Pastor this morning. I mean, that spirit of faith just ran up in him. He got excited. Why? He's talking about that. That faith, you know. And that wasn't even his subject. You just can't help it. There's just an attitude of faith and a spirit of it that, dear God. Amen. And sometimes, you know, you don't realize it's in the small decisions. Sometimes it's in the decisions, you know, to do what looks like to others is foolishness, yet you know God told you to do it. And so you obey. You don't know what the future holds, but He does. And He's positioning you. Amen. I'm so glad that, you know, 33 years ago, the end of August, I lived in Tulsa to come to school but moved here 33 years ago, made that decision. That decision has forever altered my destiny for me. Now, you know, I could have made the decision not to do it. Well, I wouldn't be here right now. You understand that? More than likely. Now, I could have repented, you know, got back. Thank God. Aren't you glad you can go back? But you know where you're going back? To the last place that He told you to do. How many of you have done that before? All right. I suggest you don't run that circle too many times. Just obey, and let's move on to the next good thing, all right? Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Well, that sounds a whole lot like 3 John 2. Well, notice here he talks about meditation. Meditation, to me, the best definition, and I've heard of that, meditation is really talking to yourself about something. Now, we all do that, whether we want to admit it or not. Now, probably in the checkout line at Walmart, it's not the best place to have a conversation with yourself because, you know, people don't really, but constantly discussing things. I had a minister friend of mine. I heard him say this. He said he was studying this, and he was asking God, how do I do? And God gave him this, and I like this. I like this at one point. He said, ask yourself this question concerning the word. If this was true in my life right now, how would my life be different? And then begin to think on that. Let God show you. How would my life be different? If I was prosperous and in health, how would my life be different? You see, what could I do? Amen. See, you're not gonna support a missionary on the field until you see yourself do it and you think about it first. Amen. You understand that? You're not gonna go next door and win your neighbor to Christ until you begin to see yourself doing it. And how are you going to see yourself doing it? Through the Word of God. All right? The next thing is we've got to do the Word. Matthew 7. We've got to know what God's Word says, putting it first place. We've got to meditate on that Word. Of course, you know, realize we could stop on any of these and go for a long time, but we're just kind of introduced. Matthew chapter 7. Read this one, and we've got one more right after that. We'll wind up here. Matthew chapter 7. Now, most of us are probably familiar with this. Verse 24, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Hey, and if you're not familiar with this, great. This is your night. All right? You realize all of us heard it the first time once. Have you ever thought about this? You're only a beginner one time. Yeah. After you begin, now you're a veteran. If you did it once, yeah, I've done that. Amen. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, that would be the word, right? And does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now notice here, I do want you to notice something. Acting on and believing the Word of God, talking the Word of God, thinking correctly according to the Word of God, does not guarantee the winds, the rains, and the floods will never come. This world hasn't been told, it's coming a time, there's a lease on it. One day we'll have a world like that, but right now this world, those things are in the world. But it said in verse 26, everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So not only do we need to know what the word says, we begin to meditate on it. When we meditate on the word, it produces in us obedience and actions on the word, which bring prosperity and success our way. And that comes through when we actually do the word of God. All right. Then, of course, verse 8. If you can find Philippians 8 in your Bible, turn that Bible in. Because someone has tricked you. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So he lists some things there. You know, he lists eight things. True things, these are all things that the Word of God are. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. That's what you get when you get into God's Word. Those are the things. And those are characteristics that will come part of your character as we begin to incorporate the Word into our lives. Hallelujah. And so, you know, in this process of making right decisions and thinking, our thinking process is vitally, vitally, vitally important. And then we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And when we renew our mind, we take our place in the things that God has for us, and we begin to walk in all that Jesus. You know this. There are some people that don't think healing's for today, and they never experience the healing power of God. Good Christians love God, going to spend eternity with God, but because of their thinking that healing is not for today, they never experience healing in their life. Right? You know, and like I said, it's not, but if we're going to walk in the fullness of what God has for us, if we're going to prosper and be, our soul has to prosper first. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I do want to mention to you two good books that we have in our bookstore. Now, this one is almost gone, but this one, there's a young minister by the name of Marvin Yoder that wrote a book called Moving On Up. Developing a Prosperous Soul for New Realms of Living. This outstanding book based on 3 John 2, on the idea of renewing the mind and your thinking. Some great things in here. And How long ago did you write this, Wilmore? When was this? When was this originally? When? 1998. Buy the book just to get that picture of him on the back. That's awesome. Hallelujah. And then there's another young fella by the name of Doug Jones that wrote a book. He'll make a good minister one of these days. Mastering the Silence. Strategies for Winning the Battles of the Mind. Another good book. Okay? I would recommend these books for you to get a hold of and look at and something in there catch you and help you in this process. All right? And that's not Doug's face on the front. Everybody thinks it is, but he says it's not. So I've never known him to lie to me, so I'm going to have to take his word for it. But we have those in our bookstore. And then, of course, the book Right and Wrong Thinking, I highly suggest, along with these. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then, of course, you know, read your Bible. That's probably a good thing. Yeah, that's a good start. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave this place. Don't leave this place without knowing him. Amen. And before we end the service here, we'll have our prayer team up here just a little bit. Hang on just a minute, guys, because we need to. We're going to go ahead and receive that second offering right now. Amen. And I thought what Brother Marvin said concerning sowing seed, you know, I feel sorry for all of you that didn't grow up in farmland. I really do. Because the idea of seed time and harvest is so easy to understand when you've done seed time and harvest. And Jesus said, and God said, told Noah, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest is going to take place. So this is an opportunity. Now, if you don't, you can text to give this, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that tonight for my, no Siri, I don't need your help, sorry. You know, sometimes you press that button and Siri wants to yak at you. All right, but you can text to give to 28950, and if you just type in Hagen, it goes to you can use that for pastor's birthday gift. And so you can put that in there. If you use decimal points, make sure you put them in the right place. All right. Amen. And you know, they don't ask us to do this. In fact, they've told us we don't want you, but you know, sometimes you can disobey when you're honoring somebody. You know what I mean by that? But we want to really be a blessing to Pastor, and September 3rd. Is that the right date? September 3rd is the birthday. 76 years old. Hallelujah. And as he said, been in church the week after he was born, whole time. What a legacy. Hallelujah. And what an honor we have to have him as our pastor. You don't realize it. And of course, you know, Man and I just got back. We spent a little bit around 2 weeks in Brazil. And we don't, you know, sometimes when you're around something a long time, you take things for granted. We forget. We forget because we're here and we just forget what a blessing it is for us to sit in this church and receive from the ministry that God has placed upon our pastors and that anointing. And all places aren't like this, folks. I don't know if you realize that or not. And we're so blessed. And so let's be generous as we do this. And you can if you write a check, make it out to Rhema Bible Church, put it in an envelope, put pastor's birthday in the other. Of course, you can always give cash in that if you want to. All right. So I'm going to send mine here. And it's going to receive a receipt that says when it's completed. All right. We ready? Let's pray over this offering. Father, we thank you. Father, we give thanks for Pastor Hagen. We thank you for his life. Thank you for his ministry. Father, we want to minister to him. You said if you sowed unto us spiritual things, we can sow natural things back. And so, Father, we sow naturally back to the spiritual blessings we've received through the gift of God, Pastor Hagen, that you've placed at Rhema, not only here at this church, but as it impacts the world. We thank you, Father, for his leadership. We thank you that his health springs forth speedily, Father God, and you make him strong, and make him sharp in his mind, Father, in all these things. Give him, may his latter years be greater than the former, Father. We give tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said together, amen. So go ahead and serve the folks if you would. Hallelujah. And like I said, as soon as we give them opportunity to do that, Brother Marvin, did we have some first-time guests tonight? We did have that. Connection team, if you want to go ahead and find our first-time guests right now and take them to that place. We're so glad you're here. If this is your very first time at Rhema Bible Church, thank you for coming tonight. Let's give them a big hand clap. Being here. If you're first, generally on Sunday nights, the pastor has one of the associates minister, and he and Craig, Brother Craig, Pastor Craig, they trade off usually back and forth at the campus in Oklahoma City. So Sunday nights he has us here, and so we're honored to stand in this pulpit. Believe me, it's a great honor, and I enjoy preaching other places, but there's just something about this church and you people. Amen. Tell your neighbor, there's just something about you. I don't know what it is. There's something about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I could get, go, connection team, go ahead and find us. Can I get one of the ushers here? Please take those back to the bookstore. I promised I'd bring them back. So there you go. Amen. I was going to get them out. I forgot to bring them from my office. Let's all stand together. Connect, prayer team, if you come down. If you need prayer for anything, if you need anything from God, come on down here, men to the men, ladies to the ladies. Let them pray with you. You know what they're going to pray with you according to? The Word of God. Why? Because that's what brings results when we act on the Word of God. And in that Word, the Bible says, if two of you agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask, it shall be done. This is the shall be done place right up here tonight. All right? So here in just a moment, if you need prayer, you come on up. All right? Praise the Lord. God bless. Shake hands with somebody. Let them know you love them tonight and glad you're a part of the same family of God they are, and you can be dismissed.